Eyes Wisely. This is the second hour with your host, Ingrid Castle, and my great guest, Dr. Pam Popper. And I'm going to go ahead and open the line to callers. I think this show warrants people wanting to dialogue with my guest because this is exciting. We're reaching a turning point. We are networking better all over the country. People have come forward, and thank God for Make Americans Free Again. So this really works for me, you know, where everyone can get their individual groups and members to join, and they have a system, you know, a pretty good database that they can sort by state. So anyhow, the caller line is 1-800-313-9443. So if you have a question for Dr. Pam Popper, please call. Again, that's 800-313-9443. So our first caller is Dave in New York. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hello, Angry. Yes, I just saw that your Humbleweed website as well. Maybe I can contact you about some health ideas you have. There must be an email there on the RBN contact page.
There is, but you probably okay. have something for Dr. Pam Popper too. You have a comment?
Yes. I'm trying to. We have seen the deaths due to COVID-19 that are reported drop precipitously in the U.S. and around the world, basically since March, April, and now they are rising some, but the case numbers are rising. At a much, much greater rate, and there's not the concomitant rise in the deaths. I would say that the flu, according to CDC death numbers, kills about 7,500 people a year, according to their death numbers. And it's reported by the CDC, according to death certificates, that about 220,000 people have died from COVID-19. Right now, we're having about 5,000 per week die in the U.S. How can we say that this is not a public health emergency, given those kind of numbers, when the Hong Kong flu killed about 100,000?
Those numbers aren't correct. The first thing is that our epidemiologists and experts started looking at all of these numbers. We estimate, first of all, the CDC basically said that there were, this was a couple months ago, 9,600 people died of flu, of COVID-19.
No, they didn't say that.
Nothing wrong with them, okay? So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the deaths from flu and pneumonia every year are in the tens of thousands. Every year in the United States. And this year, what's happened is a lot of those have been categorized as COVID-19. So you have this constant misreporting of numbers that has everybody sideways. So on the outside, we can analyze the data that they're putting out there and see that it's fraudulent. So once we get them into court, depositions first, and then into court, we'll be able to prove that. But their own, every once in a while, they slip, and their own data shows that there are nowhere near 200,000 deaths. And the other thing is the tests are fake. In every state, their various testing companies are being sued. Testing has had to be paused because testing companies were doing things like in Florida, 18 labs reported 100% positives for tens of thousands. It's statistically impossible. So you've got fake tests that are not reliable. So you don't even know who has this. So when people say, what about the deaths and what about the cases? Well, first of all, the cases don't matter because most of the cases right now are asymptomatic people.
Yes, I understand that.
You're only worried about people who are sick. And most of the people who are being called cases are not sick. They're incentivized. The states are incentivized sure. to have cases and to have hospitalizations. Even if you're getting your knee replaced and you test positive for COVID, then they can claim it as a COVID hospitalization. Here in Ohio, our little emperor gets $180,000 for that. Okay. So you've got a financial incentive to gin up the numbers to make it look scary when the real numbers aren't scary at all. And never in the history of public health has anybody been knocking on doors looking for asymptomatic people sitting on their porch to test them and report somebody like that as a COVID case. So we don't know who had this disease. We have no idea who died from it, because we know, one thing we do know, is they're lying and they're ginning up these numbers in order to keep this charade going.
Well, what I found, Jeremy Faust wrote an article in Scientific American in April, and his article showed that the CDC reports about 7,500 people die per year from the flu based on death certificate numbers. The model numbers that are shown as preliminary burden estimates on the CDC website are not the death numbers by their death certificates. I verified his numbers going into the CDC, digging deep. You can't find these easily, but you can find it by week and add it all up for the year, and I got the same number he came up with. And so, but the real question is, yes, is that 220,000 correct? I can just give you a report that in Corning, New York, at the Corning Center Nursing Home, they had 95 people test positive out of 110 residents. About 25 have died so far, and my friend sees the ambulances going in there and taking them out, and he knows of someone, you know, whose grandfather died due to it and had all the symptoms. So I don't know how we can battle, how we can really get to the correct number.
Dave, what are they dying of? I mean, do you even know what they're dying of?
The tests are fake. So when people say they tested 110 people and 95 were positive, using a test, in most cases, that the developer of the test, who won a Nobel Prize for developing it, said should never be used for diagnostics. It's a lab tool. So if you use a fake test to diagnose people and then you claim that they're dying of the fake diagnosis, you cannot go public with those numbers. I mean, you're talking about a level of intellectual disconnect. I don't know how else to put it. You're using a test that the inventor said don't use, not to be used for diagnostics. And it can be manipulated. I don't know if you understand this or not, but that PCR test...
No, I know very well it can be manipulated.
I'm going to talk right now, all right? It can be manipulated because it's how many cycles you run the thing through, all right? So all you have to do if you want to manipulate, which is what they're doing, is you run it through 35 cycles, 36 cycles, everybody's positive because we've all had coronaviruses. You dial it back down to 30, 28... Nobody has coronavirus, so you can prove that your stupid policy that doesn't really work is working. Wearing masks, whatever you want. But here's the other thing. The average lifespan of a person who enters a nursing home, if you're a male, it's less than 9 months. And if you're a female, it's less than 2 years. So you can't use nursing homes to drive your public policy that drives kids in school and people who are perfectly healthy like me, have nothing wrong with them walking around doing their daily business. People don't live very long once they get in a nursing home. Okay, they die of something pretty soon because they're in pretty bad shape or they wouldn't be there. Nobody goes to a nursing home who's healthy and strong. You don't end up there if you're healthy and strong. Okay, so the most vulnerable people who are going there to die, who die of whatever it is they die from, should not be dictating public policy. And by the way, there isn't a single state that's being honest about it. And I'll tell you something else. I wrote an article about this and I did a video on it. Nursing home operators started checking the CDC's database. This is when the White House said no more reporting to the CDC, because what they found was that they would send in a report saying three people died of COVID, and they would see on the CDC, it was recorded on the CDC website as sometimes more people dying of COVID in their nursing home than they had beds. Okay, so that's the level of corruption and fraud that is involved in all of this.
Yeah, well, that's clearly a problem. But we had, within a 2-week period, we had 25 people die in that nursing home.
I'm telling you, you don't know how many people died symptoms in the nursing home. The reason why the White House said don't report to the CDC is because they were lying what they posted on there. All right. First of all, you don't even know who had COVID in the nursing home. The test is fake.
Yes, they had the symptoms.
I'm going to leave it there because anybody who's still believing in this testing probably can't have an intelligent discussion about this because the testing is fake. Go look at it. You can watch videos. There are videos of Kerry Mullis, a lot of them, not one, lots of them, where he talks about this PCR technology and the fact that it should not be used for diagnostics. Okay, it is useless for diagnostics. So anything that is based on this useless test that the inventor said, do not use for diagnostics, Why would you use a test that the inventor of it says is not a diagnostic tool to do this, unless you were trying to gin up fake data? Why would you do that? There are tests that are accurate that you could use. You could actually just test people who have symptoms, right? That would be
And they have also used a genetic sequencing test, right? A genetic sequencing test is definitive, and that's where Cox postulate comes in, that they have genetically sequenced this thing in multiple labs and done electron micrographs of the spike proteins. So we have strong data.
Okay, Dave, we can agree to disagree because the CDC document.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying this. Right. Yeah. What's your?
All right.
Here's the thing.
We're back to this. If anybody who's going to rely on a fake test that shouldn't be used for their data, I don't know what to say about that. Okay. You're part of the making stuff up crowd, and I don't know what to say about that. I'm suing people over that. I'm investing my life savings and my life's work on proving this wrong. I think I'm right enough about it to invest my future, to stake my future on doing this in court. All right. So I'm just going to keep doing this. I'm just going to keep bringing in experts, and I'm going to keep working on filing cases until we get to the place where we prove to the world that this is the case. I mean, you can watch the videos online and see what I'm talking about and say, well, I don't believe the inventor of the test. He certainly knew nothing about the test he invented. So I'm just going to go off in my corner here and say the tests that they're running are great. My friend says 25 people in the nursing home were died of COVID, and everybody tested positive for it using a test that isn't valid. Okay, that's really what this discussion is all about. Okay, let's move on to the next caller because I see more coming in.
Thank you, Dave. We have another caller. We have Tom in Utah. Welcome to Immunize Wisely, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Just want to find out if Utah has been involved at all. I've got connections over here, and I just realized that, so we need to see if we can get you. And I did call Pam a month ago, but I never followed through.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. First of all, thanks for calling in. And we know that Utah didn't start out as one of the states that had all this nonsense going on, but quickly joined the crowd. It's like a whole bunch of governors had some kind of psychotic break one weekend and woke up on Monday and started the nonsense, right? So definitely a lawsuit is needed in Utah. I get emails from people all the time and tell me about their episodes with the mask wearing and everything else and how bad it is. So if you first of all, get your name in our database and start looking around. You know, if you get on social media, even as censored as it is right now, you will find groups in your area that are freedom groups and that sort of thing to get associated with and start spreading the word. But we'd love to help you.
I do know a couple of organizations that are suing both restaurant and school. Parents, you know, that are dealing with the issues with the kids in school.
Right.
So let's see. Tell me your website's name again for sure. Is it?
Sure. It's makeamericansfreeagain.com.
Americans with an N in it.
Americans. Yeah, with an S in it. Americans, plural. All of us. Makeamericansfreeagain.com.
All right, I'll probably give you a call, at your office, and I'll drag you through what I know.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much, Tom. I really appreciate your call. And, yeah, we need to get more groups aligned, and I'm on a couple forums that I'm going to go ahead and spread the word to also.
Thank you.
So, I think it's important. You know, I'm part of a national network of activists in this area, so if we can get more states involved, that would be great. So we do have another caller. We have Pat in Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome to Immunize Wisely, Pat. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you very much, and Pam. What I was interested in is, since everybody thinks all the people going to the nursing home are to die, that's not true. Most of those nursing homes call themselves rehab centers. And they sent them there just to walk because they haven't walked for a month because they had to close the hospitals down. And so they send them there, and then they put a mask on them and don't give them any of their medicine. Well, what are they going to do? Die. And you know what? They have already gotten themselves to where they can't be sued for anything. And that's not right. I think we should try to go get the insurance companies that paid a supplemental, you know, want you to buy their supplemental insurance this year, December 7th, and ask them, why don't you pay for a private autopsy? Because once you start saying autopsy, they don't die of that.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, there's another thing going on in these places that I'm sure everybody knows somebody who's had this happen, where these older people are completely sequestered and isolated from any family and friends, which is like the worst thing you can do to anybody, regardless of why you are where you are. And I get an email every day at least once from somebody who says, you know, my grandmother or my grandfather, whoever it is, has just lost his or her will to live, stopped eating. You know, and I've seen some heartbreaking videos of people trying to talk to an elderly person through a window or all this ridiculousness, and they don't understand. Sometimes they don't hear well. I mean, what we're doing to our elderly people is cruel and unusual punishment.
They are starving them because we don't have time for this. We don't have time for that. Well, you know, a hospital can't say we don't have any people for that. They have to have traveling nurses come in and traveling people. Nursing homes have no qualifications for being one, and they should never be allowed to call themselves a rehab center unless they're curing people of drugs.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that some of the people who work in nursing homes say, commonly say, is that the whole nursing home setup, for whatever reason people happen to be there, is based on family involvement. They're counting on family and friends to visit and to, you know, to provide companionship. And they bring in flowers and they bring goodies and food from outside and that sort of thing. I know when my mother was in rehab she had shoulder surgery, somebody from our family was there all the time. And that's how we made sure that her care was good. And now part of the problem is that nobody's there to make sure the care is good. And the second thing is the setup was never designed for the institution to provide everything, including companionship, that these people need. So it's just another way in which this entire hoax has turned into cruel and unusual punishment, the collateral damage that I was speaking about earlier.
Some nurses can't believe what's going on in their own nursing home, and they tell you things. And you, if you got it reported, the doctor said malnourished. Why would they be malnourished? Especially when you take in food that has not been opened. Everything has to not be open. And then they throw it in the garbage. It comes home still in the package. They won't let them. They're starving them to death.
Your idea of holding them accountable, I think, is a good one. And I think that we'll get to that. I think the first step in the whole thing is to prove that the pandemic was not really a pandemic and that the actions taken in the previous months were unwarranted and that they knew it. And then all of a sudden people start to have culpability for their actions. And something I haven't said before that's kind of interesting is that if you're a public officer, like if you're the governor or the health officer, whatever position that you hold, you have liability insurance for what you do on your job, but it doesn't cover you for fraud. So if we are ultimately successful at accusing and proving that the governor's committed fraud, some of these people are very wealthy. And they don't have, their insurance companies are not going to cover that. Okay. So I've heard people, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've had a lot of people tell me our governor's worth $70 million. Well, that would go a long way to pay for some of what you're talking about, wouldn't it, in our state?
That sounds exciting to me. Let's get a hold of it.
Well, and you know, Mr. Fauci's pretty wealthy too, you know?
I know.
Nobody is even conceding what they're doing to people.
Yeah. And it's what they're doing to kids. I mean, if you look across the board, almost every aspect of society is being tortured in some way. And a good example of something that we don't talk enough about is the small and medium-sized business owners who have seen their life's work go up in flames. And I read a letter that was sent out by a restaurant owner in New York City they closed their restaurant. It's in a beautiful area of Manhattan, and people, it was a great restaurant, great gathering place. We have places, everybody has places like this in your community where you just love to go there. And they sent a letter to all of their customers that they had in their database. And they said, you know, people say, well, you know, you're selfish because you're worried about your business and you're worried about money and all this kind of stuff. But they did a really good job of showing the impact. Of course, they're worried about money. Everybody has to worry about it. I don't know how these people who don't worry about money live, because I know that every month the utility bills want some money from me. You can't really just write and say, I'm not really worried about money, so don't turn off my electricity. But anyway, they included in their letter the economic impact, like how much money they paid employees every year and how many employees are now without a job. And then how much money they spend with suppliers, you know, where you buy businesses like that, they're buying food from different suppliers. Well, that's all those suppliers lose that tens of millions of dollars. And then the taxes that they were paying to the city of New York and to the state of New York. Well, now you've got the city and the state taking in less revenue, right? And so who pays for that? Well, you start looking at these businesses, and that's my cat. I told you he might say hello. Come here, Shredder. Yeah, come on. Come on over here so you don't make so much noise. Here. Okay. Here we go. I'm having him join our little party here, so he'll be quiet. but anyway, at the end of the email or the letter that they sent out, it was not just a couple, married couple, who are losing their business. It is dozens of people losing their jobs and dozens of companies losing revenue. And of course, you multiply. If you're a restaurant supply store and you lose one restaurant in Manhattan, well, you're probably going to stay in business. But how are you going to stay in business if 60 or 70% of the restaurants who buy things from you go out of business? So the ripple effect of this is just horrific. And I think one of the things that aggravates me is if you'd asked any of these genius public health officials like a month before this started, what is the effect of economic insecurity and joblessness and people who feel no purpose in life? Tell me what that does to health. Oh, they would have waxed eloquent. They could have each done 25 talk shows, you know, about how devastating that would be. And then look what they did. Look what they did, right? So anyway, lots of cleaning up to do, but I really do come back to the fact that I think the first thing we have to do is get in court and prove that this is fraudulent, because then from there, the financial damages, the wrongful deaths, the things that you're talking about where families are infuriated, and they should be, about what's happened to their family members, that's where those lawsuits will come from. And I'm telling you something, I'm planning to live to be 100, I'm 63. When they put me in the ground, there will still be cases in court over this. This is how huge this thing is.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you, Pat. I appreciate your call. I'm not sure what happened to Ken. I was anticipating another commercial break, but we don't need to have a commercial break. That's great, too. So there was some breaking news. Now, I'm not sure if I missed it or not, because I got the October 14th press release, and then you told me there was something that just happened, you know, like Friday.
Yeah, that was on Friday. Well, this is when we found out that the governor was actually breaking the law. And then I'm trying to think what else happened. Well, there's always something happening. But our big news on that lawsuit was we found out that the governor was actually breaking the law and the statute. And these different, this is another thing, too, when you get a really good lawyer in your state. Every state has different laws. That's why you have to file these in every state. And I don't know if everybody knows what's going on in Michigan, but this is something that'll make everybody feel really good about, okay? So in Michigan, they went about this two different ways. There were lawsuits, and they won at the Supreme Court level. But while they were doing the lawsuit, they also found out through good legal research that the little empress in Michigan was relying on a law passed in 1945, believe it or not. And it didn't have anything to do with public health, but it had to do with emergencies. So she kept referring to that law. Well, so they also found out that in the state of Michigan, and again, it's different in every state, if you want to get a law taken off the books, it requires, I think it was like 300,000 signatures or something like that. So while their case was making it through the Michigan court system, they said, well, why don't we go pursue this other thing at the same time, which they did. And on the same Friday, this happened, I lose track of the time because all the days are kind of the same, but I want to say like a week ago Friday, they had two good pieces of good news in Michigan. The first one was that the Supreme Court had ruled in their favor that she had no right to extend these emergency orders for as long as she did. And they delivered not 300,000 signatures to the Board of Elections, but 530,000 signatures of registered voters. So the law is gone that she's been relying on. So they were very proactive in the state going after the loss, a successful lawsuit, and also another way to get rid of the emergency orders as well. So anyway, at one state, you know, in Florida, DeSantis freed the state. I know the municipalities and the counties are doing some terrible things, but DeSantis said he wasn't going to do it. And then the Michigan situation. So we have some things going on that should give people some hope that this is a solvable problem. And of course, we'll get more of that. Like I said, it's like the reverse domino. They were all falling the wrong direction starting in March, and now we're starting to see going the other direction.
Yeah, it's, you know, so what do you, you know, I have to ask this question. What do you think about November 3rd, the election, and what that'll bring?
You know, I'm worried about it. I think the first thing is that, you know, and I know politics makes everybody sideways, but what is being done to poor Joe Biden is elder abuse. He's not capable of doing this. He's definitely mentally not all there. And so that's kind of a cruel thing. But the problem is that if Trump wins, which would be the better choice, in my opinion, based on what's going on, we're going to see they're going to burn down every city in the country. It's going to be horrible. And if Biden wins, society as we know it is over. We have a whole different rebuilding thing to do. And because he intends to nationalize all this nonsense, he wants to nationalize masks. He wants to nationalize the lockdown. He wants to nationalize everything. And Trump has specifically stayed away from that kind of thing, to his credit. So I'm very concerned about the election, hoping that everything turns out okay. And I think maybe it might even be in the hands of God at this point in time. We're going to need God's help for this to be all right.
Right. And do you think it would be, he's still president until January 17th.
Right.
So he would certainly be justified in calling out the National Guard, which
he may have to do it. And the reason is because it's the 14th Amendment is specifically designed for these kinds of situations where if the unrest in a particular area is horrific, you can't just let the citizens burn down the buildings. And I mean, I saw a video, and you might have seen it too, of parts of Minneapolis. It looks like Berlin after all the bombings during World War II. It's just, makes me so sad to see that. Beautiful, beautiful places. And again, like the restaurant owners in that letter about impact, how many people impacted, you just look at however big that area is, how many people are out of business, how many people are homeless. These were areas where, you know, these buildings were occupied by businesses and residences too. You can't allow that to go on ad infinitum either.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally agree with that. So we are actually coming up on a commercial break.
Okay. All righty.
Yeah, because I was kind of like, I kind of need to go to the ladies' room.
Well, I'll still be here.
Yeah, okay. Too much information, as my sister would say.
Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Pam Popper on Immunize Wisely. And, you know, I want to actually switch gears a little bit. We've been talking a lot about the lawsuit and how, you know, people can, you know, get more involved and, you know, just how excited that is, you know, that what's going on in Ohio is a model for the rest of the country. And that I know there's some mysterious state that's ready to also, you know, use what they didn't. You know, they're doing in Ohio as a model. I know I interviewed 2 weeks ago Dr. Peter Bregan about this very thing because he's one of your expert witnesses, very excited about all of it. So anyway, so I want everyone to make sure if they're interested to go to Make Americans Free Again. That's Americans with an NS, not America Great Again, but we're all Americans here. So Make Americans Great Again, you just go .com.
Free again. Make Americans free again.
Oh, I know. Great, yeah, Make Americans Free Again. You know, I actually went to Make America Great Again because I was just like, just kind of a switch in my mind. And it was really funny what came up. I'm not going to go there right now. I mean, it's like someone grabbed that domain and all they put was Amy Coney Barrett, a picture of her with what she was really thinking while she was being grilled. It's pretty cute. Anyway, just a little levity here. So I want to talk a little bit, you know, I mean, we have like another half hour. And I did put the caller line out if someone does want to call. But I'd like to talk about your book, actually.
Oh, because, thank you.
I mean, 442 pages, that's a lot.
we cut it off at that.
You must have started it in February.
No, we cut it off at that. I mean, it could have just grown to 1,000 pages, but actually we started it in May, and I had a great co-author who had a lot of knowledge about some of this stuff because of his previous, he was a biology major. At one point in time, he had toyed around with going to medical school, but he worked in a virology lab. He did PCR sequencing. He knew a lot about a lot of this stuff. And after he decided not to pursue something medically related, he became a financial money manager, and he managed $100 million or so worth of assets. So he was really knowledgeable about this whole China connection and everything. So I had a very good co-author that made it easier. But there was so much to write about. We had to constantly prune, because you get a book nobody's going to read. So what our goal was to really tell the story and make it interesting so somebody could read it like a novel. And really, if we had written this back in January, they would have said, boy, Pam Hopper and Shane Pryor are so creative. This story is like wild. It's so good. But it's actually what happened. It's what happened. We have very good reason to believe that this was planned. You probably have heard this before. In politics, they say never let a good crisis go to waste. And so once the whole thing was launched, then a lot of people who had wanted an opportunity to change the world in some pretty negative ways said, oh my gosh, this is our chance. So think about a guy like Bill Gates, who's been announcing for years, this isn't a conspiracy theory. He goes on television every day now and says, well, we're going to have to vaccinate 7 billion people a couple of times before you're going to be allowed to move about freely. So first of all, who put this guy in charge, right? And second of all, he's making his agenda really clear. And so he had an agenda. A lot of other people had an agenda. They saw this as a great opportunity. And that's why we are where we are. And of course, we talk about the death certificates and the testing and what went on in the states and all this kind of thing. And then we put forth what we think the various scenarios about what might happen, and actually finish on a fairly positive note, because I think what might happen is up to us. In other words, the final chapter hasn't been written, and we're kind of at that point, I think, as a citizenry, where we either, kind of like our discussion before, we say, hey, we've got to get together, and you know, freedom has a price, and I have to be a citizen and get up every morning and, you know, figure out what I can do to move things along and get and make things better. And if we do that, we're going to come out of this okay. We may be better than we were before. And then if we don't, well, the other side wins. I don't think anybody likes that idea, right?
I mean, I'm just saying, we need to come together as our collective humanity here and join forces. It is happening. And that's actually exciting, because it's something that's needed to happen for a while. They've done this predictive programming on us for a while, and it's gotten to such a crescendo. I think this level, with the 5G rollout, now we have Starlink. I mean, in this area, that's probably waking people up more than anything, because there's a lot of people that are becoming electrosensitive to all the microwave radiation. I mean, I know for myself, I'm sensitive based on how my husband was killed. So I have to guard myself to any kind of, you know, microwave radiation exposure, or, you know, what we call pulse modulated microwave radiation. And, you know, 4G is bad enough for me. So I'm constantly, you know, running around with my meter, because I get a headache like right away. I mean, I know right away when I'm exposed.
Well, and I think I think the big thing that we need to look at, because it's very easy to start talking about this issue and that issue, and the big issue we have to stay focused on is freedom, okay?
Right.
And the first thing I want to just tell everybody is people write to me and they say, well, what are you going to do about this and that and 5G and everything else? I tell them, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invest everything I have, every waking moment of my day, in helping set our people free, because none of that's going to matter if we end up living in a communist country. Okay, so we got to be free first. Then what we have to do is we have to rebuild our country. We got to take the people whose businesses have been shuttered and help them get back into business. We have economically disadvantaged children who are functionally illiterate, and we cannot have a country that is eventually going to be popular with adults who are functionally illiterate. We have to do something about that. There are crises and things that have to be dealt with right now that can be changed. All right. We got to make sure we're not tilting at windmills. And then we have to continue this active citizenship. How a lot of this stuff happened was we let it happen. People don't vote. I will take responsibility for this. I live in the city of Worthington, which is a suburb of Columbus. And I have only been to one city council meeting, and it was for the meeting. And I've been here for 30 years. I only went the one time, attended the one time when they were going to change the zoning in my building so I could build a hot yoga studio and a commercial kitchen. Well, it all starts with local stuff, right? You go to your local city council meetings and you become involved in local activity and county activity and state activity. We all have to make that part of our job. And I'm as guilty as an expert. I always voted, and I've been very diligent about that. I've worked on some campaigns, but I'm pretty lax at that local level. So I think that the thing that we take away from this is what are the most important things for us to do right now? Because the longer we make the list, the harder it's going to be to get anything done. The judge doesn't, when you get into court, you guys, the judge doesn't want you to come in with the 96 things that are wrong with everything. You got to come in with a very narrow claim that's understandable by everybody and that you can actually litigate. The second thing is not having food right now, and food insecurity, even in our affluent areas, is becoming a problem. That can't go on for a real long time. You better get focused on that. So I don't disagree that we have a lot of big problems that have to be dealt with, but we're going to have to take them in some kind of reasonable order, or we're just going to be back to swatting at flies with the kitchen door open again, and nobody knows what the heck we're trying to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't disagree with you on anything. I just think we need real focus in our approach these days.
Yeah, I totally agree. So thank you so much, Pam. I mean, you've really narrowed it down on because we have a group called peoplesrights.org. And in fact, there's a caller on Deanna's program earlier today who lives up here, and he's real big in that. And we have like something going on, like, you know, the Panhandle Health District where we live was trying to push a masking ordinance. We had, you know, just a very last minute announcement, the location change, when their board meeting is, et cetera, et cetera. And they got it out on text and email, and over 1,000 people showed up. And that's just a small, we're not in like Chicago or in a huge city or anything. This is suburbia to Spokane, Washington, you know.
Well, it tells you that people have had it. They've had it. They're ready to do something. And maybe that's what it had to get to. You know, I look back on my whole evolution here. You know, so in March, I didn't agree with the 2 weeks to lockdown, but I thought, well, you know, if we need to do that, we can recover from 2 weeks. And then you're kind of anxious waiting for things to get better, and they don't. And I think it was like late May, we were into writing the book already. I decided that I needed to write a book about it. And it was that decision was right about the time I really figured something else was going on, and they were never going to let us go if we didn't take action and make it happen ourselves. Right.
Right.
What I think we're all experiencing, again, back to that feeling better about things, coming out of the abyss instead of going deeper into the abyss, is what you're talking about. You put out something and say, we're concerned about this, and 1,000 people show up. You're going to see more and more of that because people have just had it. And really, there's a very interesting editorial that was written by Judge Napolitano, posted on Fox, and I put it in the forbidden videos on wellnessforumhealth.com. Every week I post a forbidden video. By the way, the newsletter I send out is the forbidden news because YouTube doesn't have any control over stuff I post on my website and my newsletter. But anyway, in Judge Napolitano's editorial, he goes, what if we just decided not to comply? What if we just went back to normal? What if we just took the masks off? What? Well, you know what? If 70 million people did it, what would they do? What could they do? Really? You know, it goes back to something I said before. We're pretty powerful as a group. We're starting to figure that out. We're starting to band together. And there's kind of this excitement. And I don't know if you feel it. I suspect that you do. But it, you know, that that anxious anticipation, like something's happening, something's going to happen.
Right. We're actually living in pretty, you know, happening times to me, whatever. All I know is that it's momentous and changes are afoot, and 2021 is going to bring, you know, out a lot more changes that are actually for the people. I mean, I actually think that things are going to be turning around. I have to admit, though, Pam, I when I go to the post office and there's those signs there and people just follow them, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that go into the post office and ignore them, like me, and more people are doing that. But I'll never forget, you know, my sister the other day. Oh, she was so sweet. I really like that she did this. There was an older gentleman got to the store. It was a, you know, a natural grocery store, and he sees the sign. He, you know, starts walking to his car, and my sister kind of yelled after him. He says, "You don't need to wear a mask, sir." And he turned around and he says, "Really?" You know, like he's looking at the sign, like, you know, obedient slave. And he felt so relieved, and he went in the store without a mask.
Yeah. And I think one point that I'll make is that I hear this a lot from people, and I think it's legitimate. They say, oh, I'm just so discouraged by how many people are wearing a mask. It looks like everybody's buying into this. Listen, there are a lot of people who are not, they just don't want to rock the boat, and they're afraid, and they're not confrontational.
Right.
I'm not afraid, and I don't mind confrontation, and obviously you don't mind it either. But don't take that mask wearing for agreement. It just might be going along. And I can tell you this, people who come here to my house to do any number of things, from servicing my furnace to, you know, I've got some critters in my attic, and I have some people that don't kill animals, but they catch and release, you know. But so different people who come to the house for various and sundry things that have to be done around here, or having food delivered for dinner. They always show up on the front door with the mask, and as soon as I tell them they don't have to wear it anymore, they go, oh, thank goodness. And they take it down. They're so relieved. And I've had that happen, you know, when I've been other places too. You don't have to wear the mask for me. Oh, thank you. And I've been watching, like, I shop at my local grocery store, and I don't wear a mask in there. And I'm usually one of only a couple people who don't have the mask on. But if you really pay attention to the employees, I'll look behind the counter of, like, where they are making deli sandwiches or whatever they're doing. And boy, if they think nobody's looking, they take those masks down, you know, because they hate wearing them. And I remember listening to a podcast of a woman who had a scene in a Walmart, and she said, I'm not going to wear a mask, and I don't have to, and here's the health order, and here's an exemption. And it kind of turned into a public thing. And as she was walking out the door, this woman who worked at the Walmart followed her. This wasn't in Ohio, it was in a different state, followed her and said, thank you so much for what you're doing. She goes, please help us. That she was an employee. She goes, we hate this. We hate this mask wearing. So that's another thing. You walk into the stores and you see all these people who work there wearing masks. They don't like it either. They just have to have a job. They can't afford to walk out. So I think that as the numbers grow, and at some point in time, maybe we'll do what Judge Napolitano suggests. And just one day, 100,000 people in Franklin County, where I live, will just say, huh, I'm not doing it, you know? And to an extent, I think employees don't realize how much power they have, because if a bunch of them decided as a condition of work, I will not wear a mask, they would almost have to cave. Because I've said this, my company's not anywhere near as big as a Walmart store, but if I came to work on Monday morning, please don't tell my people this, all right? But if I came to work Monday morning and five of them were standing in the parking lot, just five, and they said, Pam, we will not go in the building and work today unless you do something or other. I'd have to do it. You know why? Because we have a yoga studio and a gym and a food manufacturing company and a school and a healthcare company and MAFA. And bottom line, I can't do that myself. Without five people, we can't open the doors. All right. So I would have to agree to just about anything those people asked me to do to survive Monday, right? So if someday a bunch of people at a Walmart store, if three dozen of them stood in the parking lot, said we're not going in if we have to wear a mask, the store manager is pretty much going to have to cave because what are they going to do? You know, Walmart can't be staffed by six people that day. So anyway, people have more power. We just have to help people realize how much power they have.
Well, I think, too, economically with the lockdowns, that was a whole other thing. You know, people are, like, thankful they have a job, mm-hmm. you know, when they see people that, you know, restaurants close and all these other type of businesses that were not able to make it and they're, you know, struggling to make it. Yeah, I mean, this is huge.
It is.
So we're coming up. We're near the end of the show. We have a commercial break. You're listening to Dr. Pam Popper on Immunize Wisely.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Okay. Okay, welcome back to Unionize Wisely. We're right at the end of the show, and apparently we do have a caller, and it's okay. We have Pam in Connecticut. Welcome to the show, and you have a question for Pam. Pam?
Yeah, hi. Hi, thank you for doing the show. I came in a little bit before 9, so I'm going to have to review. But I went to your website, and I got this this warning.
And that's not anything to do with our website. We have all of the security certificates and all that sort of thing. We think it's probably part of the censorship, so you can go on ahead and click on it.
No, I did. But I got another warning, and then Norton Security, even though it had a green check mark, it said, oh, you know, this is, you know, I got like 3 different warnings. You know, it was crazy. But, gee, I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing. It really excites me. Do you think there's a hope for a place like Connecticut?
Absolutely. Like I said, it can be done in every state. Obviously, there are differences in state laws, so it has to be configured for a particular state. But we can do it anywhere. I think it's the right action to file. And we will do it when the circumstances are right. What we mean by that is that enough people in our database that we know that if we get all those people working together, it would be a critical mass to be able to support it. And then you can start looking for the right lawyer. Because as I said earlier, a good lawyer is going to take a good look at how are you going to pay for this and can you actually support this before he or she would take it on. And then we can offer a lot of support. What we're doing right now will make it easier. So while the states are getting their numbers up and everything in our database, as our case starts to move through, you know, we can save people a lot of aggravation. We'll learn. I mean, we already learned from putting it together in the first place because hours and hours and hours went into doing this even before we even drafted anything. So we'll be able to help the other states do this for a whole lot less expensive than it was for us and a whole lot less time also from the time that you start to the time that you actually file something. So yeah, get busy, start telling your friends. We already have a pretty good number of people in Connecticut because there's a lot of people pretty fed up there from what I hear.
So I'm wondering, Pam, I'm not very internet savvy, but I'm wondering if I was to give Pam, out.
I mean, Pam in Connecticut, we only have like 30 seconds and I want her to summarize.
All right. Yeah. So here's the thing, people. Go to makeamericansfreeagain.com, get your name in the database, recruit other people. If you want to get my free newsletter, my free video clips, pampopper@msn.com is my email address. Just send me an email. We'll get you signed up for the free stuff. But the key is we want to help you, but you guys got to help us first by getting your names in our database so we know that we've got the numbers we need to work with to make it happen. But you can get a lot of, and of course, buy my book, COVID Operation, What Happened, Why It Happened, and What's Next. You can get it on Amazon. It goes to all e-readers, or you can get an autographed copy by contacting our office. WellnessForumHealth.com is my company's name. Thank you for having me.
Yes, Wellness Forum
Health.com.
Remember that. Mm-hmm. WellnessForumHealth.com. And that way you can get an autographed copy and bypass Jeff Bezos, right?
Good idea.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Pam. I appreciate you coming on, and this is so exciting. You're a huge highlight to all of this for me, you know, to see that there's actually people calling it what it is. God.
Thank you.
Thank God.
Good night.
Okay. Well, God bless you. It's good night.
Good night.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.